So many of us enjoy the outdoors in Wisconsin, and often when we're doing that, it's on the water. Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau, and this is the Larry Mueller Show. We're going to talk about paddling with our guest today. Darren Bush is back. He's the owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports and self-proclaimed chief paddling evangelist. And Timothy Bauer is back with us, too. He's the author of the book Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. So do your summer plans include paddling? Tell us where and when you plan to go. Do you have any questions about gear? Give us a call. We've got the experts. 800-642-1234. Or you can send an email. That's ideas@wpr.org. So Darren, Timothy, thank you so much for being back with us.
Thanks for having me.
You bet.
Hey, Jill. Hi, Darren. Thanks so much for having us back again.
You bet. Now, you guys sound a lot alike, so I'll try to make sure. If I call you by the wrong name, I'm sorry. Yeah. Well, to start off, do either of you have any new places that you discovered and are paddling like now? Darren, why don't you go first?
The Wisconsin River Alliance is an organization in Wisconsin that serves to protect rivers here. And they're having a challenge this year, which is paddle 30 for 30. So it's 30 bodies of water, 30 miles of river, whatever you want to do. One of the former board members, Lindsay Wood Davis, is doing the 30 for 30 challenge, and he was running behind. So last week, we decided to go up north and bang off 5 bodies of water in 24 hours. There's a really good book by a man named John Bates. And John's a naturalist out of Manitouish Waters. And he wrote a really good book about natural lakes in mostly northern Wisconsin. It's called Wisconsin's Wild Lakes, A Guide to the Last Undeveloped Natural Lakes. So we picked 5 of those and paddled all of those. So they're mostly up in Oneida and Ashland County and Vilas County and up around there.
Okay. Well, we did interview him about that book, by the way. So we agree. It's a really good one. What about you, Timothy? Have you found any new ones that you want to share with us?
Sure. I got to also double on my admiration for John Bates. He is such a gentleman and a true scholar, and the books he has written are just really like love poems to the North Woods, rivers, and lakes. And I was up that way myself with some friends and my girlfriend this past weekend in between Eagle River and Rhinelander. And the cabin we stayed on is on a chain of lakes, not the Eagle River chain of lakes. It's a little bit quieter in the Sugar Camp area. And some of the lakes, you know, are going to be prone to pontoon boats and jet skiers and that sort of thing. But when a channel connects all these lakes together, those are really quiet, soft places, and particularly early morning or late afternoon, early evening. It's kind of a magical twilight time to be in those backwaters. So that was really special. I'm more of a rivers person than a lakes person. But that was particularly enchanting this past weekend.
I like the way you described it as soft. That's a great word for that. So you were both up north in that area. How is our water levels doing? Because I know we're kind of got a little drought kind of area down here. It's pretty dry. What about up there?
It was okay up there. This is Darren. one thing about the John Bates book, and Tim's absolutely right, the man is a national treasure, if not a state treasure. He puts in all those all the different lakes that he lists, the kind of lake it is. And there's drainage lakes and there's seepage lakes, which I'd never heard of before, where just the water table is such that the lake fills up with water. So if the water table doesn't change that much, the lake doesn't change that much. So the water level was pretty good, but that was, again, 2 weeks ago. 2 weeks can make a big difference in water levels.
Okay. What about you, Timothy?
Low. The water levels for rivers, at least up there, and it's a big generalization we're making because you say, you know, North Woods, that could be 100 miles east-west.
Sure.
But generally speaking, we went on a couple of rivers, the Brule River, which is the northeast one that serves as the boundary with the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. That was doable, about right at the bubble past which it would be too low to do. So that was, I think, a good indicator of other streams out that way. We did a smaller river the following day, called the Deerskin River. And that, I think, has reliable water levels throughout the year, thanks to just various wetlands, to plug that. But it's true. I mean, it's getting renewable springs to keep water levels, I think, pretty constant.
Okay.
So it always depends what body of water you're going to, what kind of watershed, when is the most recent rain it had. I can tell you, as Darren may be able to attest, the mosquito count is very high right now in the North Woods. And I think a part of that is not because it had a whole lot of rain recently. I think it's just because there was so much long-standing snow and ice until a few weeks ago.
Well, I can attest to that, too, because I was in the UP last weekend, and they were huge, and there were lots of them.
Okay. Black flies are out in full force, too.
Oh, gosh. That really does make things a little more miserable, doesn't it?
You know, one of the benefits of calling in is I just pulled up the water data, USGS water data, and shows all the water levels from Wisconsin. None of them are above 75%, and many of them are below that.
Mm-hmm.
The worst one I found was the South Fork of the Flambeau is at 9% of its normal flow.
Oh my gosh.
So that's pretty bony.
Yeah, I would say
that's
so.
It's not going to be able to be run right now.
No. Well, let's go to the phones. We've got a question from Tom up in De Pere. Hi, Tom.
Good morning, Ed. Thanks for taking my call. I used to paddle. I've got a 16-foot canoe, and it's a two-person canoe, but I like to take it out by myself, and I used to just kneel in the middle of it. Well, I'm getting older, and my knees don't take it very well or very long. Can you recommend a good seat that I can put in towards the middle of the canoe?
Sure. So I would say that how wide is your canoe? Any idea?
I'd say it's about 24 inches, maybe 30.
Maybe it's okay. That's pretty narrow. I would recommend a permanent installation. Are you using the yoke to carry the boat around, or are you just kind of going from car to lake?
I use the yoke a lot to carry it.
Okay, that changes things a little bit. you can put a seat pretty close to the yoke, maybe a couple feet back, and that'll get you closer to the center. I recently built a, because I have a 100-pound dog that I like to paddle with, and I couldn't find a boat that she fit in without modifications. So my seat's about 2 feet behind the yoke, and that works real well. And then, so I'm 200 pounds, and she's 100 pounds, so if you balance it out, it actually works pretty well. If you put a seat just behind the yoke, then you can throw something up in front. And what we often do is carry about a 30-liter dry bag, fill it up with water so it's a wet bag, and, you know, 25 liters of water is, you know, is that 56 pounds, something like that. You put that way up in front, it'll drop the bow a little bit.
Okay. Thanks for the question, Tom. Good luck with that. We appreciate it. You know, we were talking about just now canoes, and then there's kayaks, and then there's other things. How can you tell what's best for you? How do you pick that out for yourself? Darren?
Go, Tim.
There you go, Darren. This is more your
yeah,
sailing.
I think so.
So the best craft is lined up with the water.
Okay.
So, for example, I'm not taking a canoe to the Apostle Islands. I might be able to on a good day, but it's probably not the best craft. I'm also not paddling a sea kayak, you know, a long, skinny kayak on like the Sugar River where there's, you know, maneuverability things. So it just depends on where you're paddling. There's some things that are kind of in the middle. One of them is called a pack boat, and that's a canoe that you sit in the bottom of and use a kayak paddle with. So it's kind of the best of both worlds. The thing that I like best about canoes, especially around Wisconsin, is a lot of those smaller rivers are they're not full, right? They're down a little bit. So if you paddle like the Kickapoo, you come around the corner and there's a cliff on one side and a 3-foot bank on the other. Getting out in a canoe is way easier than getting out of a kayak.
Ah.
Right.
Yeah. That makes sense. Do you agree, Timothy?
I do. We could spend probably hours, much to the enjoyment of your listeners, I'm sure, about, you know, what boat is the best vessel for what body of water you're going to. And it really depends. You have lakes, you have big lakes, you have small rivers, wide rivers, rivers with rapids, rivers with no real discernible current. And there are different boats geared for each of those environments in unique ways. You could kind of hedge your bet, as Darren was talking about, with a canoe that you could paddle like a kayak. You could get a kind of general Swiss Army knife type of kayak that can handle all sorts of different terrains well, but it's not really designed for any one in particular. You know, and then there's the personal comfort aspect of it. I particularly love sitting or kneeling in a canoe. I could do that for hours and do without really feeling fidgety. I could sit in a kayak for like 30 minutes and start complaining about every joint in my body. But other friends of mine don't feel that way necessarily. And a lot of it just does come to personal comfort.
Okay. Well, we've been talking with Timothy Bauer, author of the book Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison, and Darren Bush, Chief Paddling Evangelist with Rutabaga Paddle Sports. We'll be back to talk more after the news. You're listening to The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Jill Nadeau. We're talking about canoeing and kayaking and what you can expect to do this summer with Timothy Bauer, the author of the book Canoeing and Kayaking South Central Wisconsin, 60 Paddling Adventures Within 60 Miles of Madison. Also here is Darren Bush, owner of Rutabaga's Paddle Sports. If you canoe or kayak, what is it about being on the water that you enjoy? Or maybe what's your most memorable paddling experience? We'd like to hear from you. Give us a call, 800-642-1234, or you can send an email to ideas@wpr.org. And gentlemen, let's go right to the phones. We've got Terry in La Crosse with a comment. Hi, Terry.
Hi. Nice to I'm enjoying your program today. My comment, I love to canoe and kayak. We've got multiple watercraft up at our cabin near Lake Holcomb. But what I wanted to add to the cat paddling discussion is that we have a breast cancer survivor dragon boat team here in La Crosse, and there's also one in Madison. The Madison team is all cancer survivors, called Team Survivor, and we teamed up with the Madison group and just got back a few weeks ago from New Zealand at an international dragon boat festival for breast cancer survivors. So that's our passion. We love to be on the water, and it's a wonderful team sport, and it's a wonderful way to celebrate survivorship after cancer.
Oh, that's wonderful. What is a dragon boat?
Well, I would say, first of all, go online and just Google dragon boat race and look at YouTube videos. They're long, skinny, go straight boats that seat 20 to 50 paddlers.
Oh my gosh.
They just hammer it, and there's a essentially a coxswain in the front who hits a drum to keep the beat, and it's very intense. It's originated in Asia, hence the dragon boat, and there's a dragon head on the front. It's very, very cool.
Very cool. Thanks for sharing that, Terry. We appreciate that. We had a couple of emails, and Tim in Madison, he and his wife are looking for a good, relatively quiet kayak outing within 1 hour of Madison. Timothy, why don't you take that one?
I feel like I'm being teed up.
Yeah, really.
Tim and Madison, my namesake, asking the very point of the book.
That's actually my wife.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, it's nice to get a softball question every once in a while.
Well, give us a couple of those places to go, Timothy.
Yeah, I mean, so the book I divided into quadrants with Madison at the center point. So if you go northwest or southwest of Madison, you'll be in the driftless area of the state, the unglaciated part, which I am particularly fond of. And there are, you know, probably 20 individual rivers out there within an hour's drive. The Baraboo River is a really good one that is qualifies as driftless, and you could get either rapids, class one, maybe two if the river is high enough, that are in the city of Baraboo, and that's a short trip and very fun to do. The only caveat being that you need enough water to run that, and currently you can't. I can tell you that right now. Mm-hmm. Too low. But if you go just upstream of that, there really are no rapids, but you get, instead of that, wonderful rock outcrops, sandstone, cliffs, ferns, moss. It's a really special place. Alternatively, you know, if you wanted to see what the ice age did to the state, go east. The Bark River is one of my favorite rivers. That's east of Madison, about a 45-minute drive, depending on which segment you do. One thing I like to plug whenever talking about where to go, especially now on the radio, is the website I'm a part of, milespaddled.com. It's MilesPaddled.com. And that's how this whole thing really started, with me getting involved with tracking reports and where I've been paddling on this website. And we list all the trips we've ever been to. We take photos, write trip descriptions of it, show you a map, tell you where we started, where we took out, how long it took. And we also have a correlative gauge that is in real time. So you could see what the river level was when we paddled it and where it's at right now. And you could determine, is it too high? Is it too low? Is it just right? But that's a pretty good resource, if I don't say so myself.
Well, yeah, it's well-deserved, because it really is. It's pretty spiffy. And like you said, it's amazing all the resources that you have on there.
Yeah, I would brag more than Tim would. I use that site all the time. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that he shows that no one thinks about very much, or should think about, is the shuttle. So he gives the best roads to go from the takeout back to the put-in. And if it's a bike shuttle, he'll tell you what the traffic counts on the roads are. So it's a holistic thing. It's not just here's the river and here's how you get in. It shows the whole logistics of it. So.
Yeah, very cool. And again, that's milespaddle.com, right?
That's right.
Okay.
Thank you very much, both of you. It's very sweet of you. It's a collaborative effort. My buddy Barry started it way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to say, for Terry, if you're still listening in La Crosse, if you wanted to send a note to us through the website about the trips you and your group have done, we would love to potentially, you know, post that, or at least give you some shout out and raise awareness to the cause, because I think that would be a really fabulous addition to the website.
Oh, yeah. And it'd be fun just seeing those boats.
Absolutely. The photographs and the drumming.
Oh, yes, for sure. That's a great idea. What about you, Darren? Do you have a couple of suggestions for Tim and Madison?
For quiet?
Yeah.
Here's the irony. The Lower Yahara River, you know, the river that connects the chain of lakes of Madison,
mm-hmm.
from what county highway is that, Tim? Is that N?
Yeah.
South of Dunkirk. Yep, so N all the way down to Fulton, which is the last spot before you run into the Rock River. I've paddled it maybe three or four times in the past 6 months, and paddled it for my birthday. I didn't see another person. And it's so close to Madison. I think it's one of those no one goes there because it's too crowded, right?
Mm.
It's fantastic. It's beautiful. I mean, I found a beaver dam there.
Oh.
I mean, it's pretty cool. And that's one of my quiet spots. The other thing is, you know, the Kickapoo is very busy, right, all the time on during the weeks or during the weekends. But during the week, I've gone and seen one other person. So a lot of it, it's not just place, it's timing.
So, Darren, I believe your dog agrees with you.
Oh, that's Lucy. Lucy's at work with me today, and
Yeah.
Thanks, Lucy. Appreciate that.
Just so we know, it was a dog and, you know, it wasn't Timothy or anything.
Nope, it's a dog.
Oh, yeah, you know.
And I just finished building a boat just for her and me because she's a 100-pound Newfie.
Oh,
and I wanted to paddle with her. But there's no boats made. So I went up to North Star Canoe, thank goodness, and they helped me. I built a tandem boat that I built as a solo. And she's quite good in it and out of it.
I was going to say, how do you keep her out of the water? She's a Newfie.
You don't. I took her to Governor Dodge on Monday to the – there's two lakes in Governor Dodge, another place you can go and paddle that's quiet in the morning. Mm-hmm. And she got out three times because there were some frogs and, you know, frogs.
So, yeah, they're frogs, yeah. But how does she get back in the boat?
So I have a secret. I basically lean the boat over till the gunwale's almost in the water. Mm-hmm. She puts her front legs in, and then I just grab under her belly and lean.
Oh.
And it brings her in, and usually about a gallon and a half of water. But, you know, after a while, you just scoop it out and keep going.
Okay. Sounds like fun.
It's wonderful.
Like a workout.
Yeah, for sure.
It is.
So you guys, you know, what about lakes now? You were talking, Timothy, you were talking about rivers, but what about lakes? If someone's looking for, you know, a quiet kayaking outing, is there a few lakes around here that might be good for that?
You bet, Jill. Great question. And I might recommend this as a wonderful first date suggestion, as it works splendidly for me.
Oh.
Lake Wingra in Madison, which is, you know, the smallest of our four lakes, and it's mostly public land surrounded by the UW Arboretum.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very sweet, special place, especially on an evening or, you know, kind of twilight into evening, full moon. If that moon is eclipsed by, a lunar eclipse, even better.
Hmm.
Yeah.
You're not speaking from, you know, personal experience or anything.
Purely a hypothetical.
That
for my money, in, you know, if you're either in Madison or live nearby, that's a really special place. But where Darren just mentioned, Governor Dodge, mm-hmm. those two lakes there are nice ones. Just Cambridge, which I think is maybe close to you, Jill.
Yes.
There's the Red Cedar Lake. That is a no motor lake, so you won't have any combustion engine to deal with. So it's just a really pleasant paddle. And then last off my list, further east of there on the, it's technically the Oconomowoc River, but it's called the Low Lake section, and it corresponds with an Ice Age Trail segment near that cathedral up there, Holy Hill.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And it's mostly public land, again, because of the Ice Age Trail, and there's no current. So paddling up it, paddling down it, it's about the same thing. It's, you know, again, like I said, it's a river, but it's basically like a skinny lake.
Okay.
And it's very pretty. So those are great. Good plugs.
Well, I'm going to throw out one of my favorite, which is Rock Lake in Lake Mills. Mm-hmm. Another really fun little ride, and it's usually pretty calm. So,
yeah, and Lake Mills is just a really sweet place to visit, too.
It really is.
And this gets back to when, not necessarily where. So we got to Governor Dodge at 8:30. Drove right up. They waved us through with our park pass. We went down, put on the lake. There was two or three other little kayaks putting around. And as we paddled for about an hour and a half, and as we came out, there were more and more powerboats launching. And mm-hmm. they used trolling motors there, so it's not obnoxious, right?
Sure.
And but when we got loaded up and left the park, there was a line going from the check-in to the road I mean, whoa. 30 cars.
Yeah.
And if we had come the same time as then, we would have been, you know, surrounded. So, yeah, Wingra, I go there, like, after sunset.
Mm-hmm.
And that started when I had young kids because, you know, you put the kids to bed. Okay, can I go? It's like, yeah, you can go. But I just keep doing it because it's such a beautiful spot, yeah.
See, that happens after the romantic one, Timothy, just so you know.
Yeah,
hold on tight, Tim. It's a bumpy ride.
Let's go to the phones. We've got John in Hayward with a question. Hi, John.
Hey, good morning. Great program. See, I just was wondering if you guys could just talk a little bit about picking the material for if you're going to purchase a new canoe. I just feel a lot of my wife and I run a guide service up in northern Wisconsin, primarily utilize canoes. And the questions we always get, you know, a lot of people have those old aluminum canoes and some old fiberglass boats that they've had forever. And when they upgrade to something new, there's so many questions on materials and kind of balancing that weight, the weight factor versus, you know, quiet and using them on some of the rocky rivers and lakes. But the materials that really kind of make such a big difference in people's purchase.
I guess
that's Darren.
Yeah, I think Darren should take this one.
So there is obviously an inverse relationship between weight and price. It's true in any sporting goods, right? Anything that's carbon fiber is going to cost more. Anything that's plastic is going to cost less. So you want to balance it out. So it sounds like a sales pitch, but it's really not. It's not cost, it's cost per use. So if you buy an 80-pound boat and take it home and put on the sawhorses and paddle it once, and then you go, I'm not going to paddle that anymore. That's, $1,000 per paddle. That's pretty expensive.
Mm-hmm.
The boat on top of my car right now weighs 35 pounds. And it lives on top of my car because I use it 3 or 4 times a week. And that's my Lucy Darren boat. So the lighter the boat, the more you use it. And that's just a fact. But they cost more. But if you look at it in terms of cost per use, my carbon boat is already less expensive than a plastic boat.
That's a really great way of looking at that. We got a call email from Matt in Madison, and he's relatively new to Madison and just bought some kayaks. The blue-green algae and the smell is off-putting on Monona, and being new to the area, he's wondering if this is what they can expect out of the lakes in Madison, or is it just that this year is unusual? Timothy, you want to take that?
Go, Tim.
I'll do my best.
Okay.
I think that's a yes and answer.
Right.
This time of year it's pretty common. I remember I moved to a house only a block away from Lake Monona this exact weekend, which was the end of May into June 1st, back in 2004. And so 19 years of fewer phosphorus runoff issues, and it was still quite bad at that point. I do think it's getting worse. It's hard to not assume that. I don't have a science background, so I don't want to just say that from my ignorant visual. I now live on, or at least very close to Monona Bay in Madison, so just that little continuous spittle of backwater to the Lake Monona proper. And for the last 2 weeks, I mean, before it got into the 90s, it started increasingly looking like a cranberry bog with just all the weeds and the algae coming up. They have boats, that go out there. City Parks or Dane County City Parks that beat the weeds and, collect them and get them off the lake. But that's kind of like a whack-a-mole approach because, you're always on the defense. How about you, Darren? What do you think?
Slightly more optimistic, but yes, and. So this happens fairly often. One problem is the turnover in the lakes is years and years and years. So the amount of nutrients in the lakes, it's going to take a long time for them to flush out. And the county has been doing a remarkable job of reducing phosphorus going into the lakes. both on reducing what's going in and on taking out what's there. That's just going to take a while. But yeah, it is right now it's a whack-a-mole. So we just have to be patient.
Okay.
But yeah, it's the smaller the body water, the worse it is. I mean, the irony is the spot right behind us. We have a little pond behind our shop that it's about 2 acres, 2.5 acres, and it's got water. It's cleaner than the lakes, and that's because we put in an oxygenator that sits on the bottom and pumps it full of oxygen. So our dissolved oxygen is twice as high as any of the lakes in Madison. So it makes a big difference in how clean it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a while before it cleans up. But yeah, it's tough right now.
Right. And there are other places to go. So you might want to explore that. And Elizabeth in Poignet is on the phone, and she wants to talk about her favorite lake and stream near Madison. Hi, Elizabeth.
Yeah, these aren't terribly far from Madison. One of my favorite little lakes is Ennis Lake at John Muir County Park in Marquette County. That's a very lovely little park, and I don't even think trolling motors go out on that lake. It's very quiet. And then streams, I like the Grant River, a section from B-Town to above Potosi, and the McCann River, again, in Marquette County, Dakota Township to Highway 22 is very pretty. Reminds me of an up north river.
Okay, great. Thank you very much, Elizabeth. Are you too familiar with those?
The McCann and the Grant, for sure. The other lake I've never heard of, and it sounds delightful.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah, it is.
We call the McCann, it's a baby Kickapoo, basically. Or not the McCann, the Grant is a baby Kickapoo. It's mm-hmm. It's similar. But again, I paddled there many times and seen nobody else.
Okay. We did get a listener who called but couldn't stay with us wondering about how to do a rollover in a kayak in case it starts to tip. And that's a pretty big subject to get into, isn't it?
Yeah, my response is don't.
okay.
And it's actually a serious response because a lot of people go, yeah, I want to do that. I want to learn how to do that. That's like, you should learn that long after you learn how to do all the techniques that keep you from flipping over in the first place.
Sure. That makes total sense. You know what, Darren, we didn't get a chance. We've only got a couple of minutes left here, but how is the new store going?
It's going well. It's not done yet.
Mm-hmm.
I thought it would be done, but it just keeps on going.
Of course
you did. They're putting a fence in today on the side lot so we can put some boats out there and have a little bit more storage. But, you know, we got the solar panels. Now we have negative electric bills right now, which is really nice.
Cool.
And all that stuff that we did to, you know, help the environment is all paying back already, and we haven't even had a season yet. So it's going great.
Excellent. Good to hear that. And what about you, Timothy? Are you going to be writing another book soon?
Oh, thank you. I hope. Maybe. We'll see. It's
okay.
It's hard to do all that while having a full-time job, darn
yes.
it.
Yes, I know, darn
so
jobs.
If everyone wants to subsidize my existence, I'm happily available after the show.
Okay.
I've got all sorts of ideas
All right, great. Well,
I keep trying to hire him, so.
There you go, Timothy. Right. Thank you both for being with us today. I really appreciate it. It's always fun to talk with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay.
Thanks, Jill. It's nice to talk to you on this side of the airwaves.
That's right. Usually it's on the other side. So take care, you guys. We've been talking with Darren Bush. He's the owner of Rutabaga Paddle Sports, and Timothy Bauer, the author of the book Canoeing and Kayaking, South Central Wisconsin. Tomorrow at this time, we'll be broadcasting from our studios in Wausau, and our friends at the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection will be back with us to talk about how to protect yourself from fraud. That's tomorrow, starting at 11, and hope you can join us. And don't forget that we will be doing Garden Talk from Bayfield on Friday. So please stop by if you're in the neighborhood, say hi, be part of our live experience. Thank you so much for being with us today. I'm Jill Nadeau, sitting in for Larry Mueller. Stay well.